Welcome to the You Need More Money podcast. I'm your host, Matt Manero, where I come to you from my studio in Dallas, Texas, each and every week. My guest today is a public relations guru. He's been on television more than 2,000 times. He writes a column that has over 1.1 million readers. He's owned a newspaper and has created over $8 million worth of free advertising and publicity for himself and his businesses. Best of all, today's guest, Josh Ellidge, believes that you can do the same for yourself and your business. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. This is exciting. I'm very excited to be here. There's so much we could talk about.
Well, I hope we can get into a lot of it because, everyone is their own PR agent today through social. And I think it has created this unbelievably cloudy and crowded and confusing and messy environment. We, in all frankness, we have had terrible luck on the PR side of things. I really believe there's a lot of bad PR agents out there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I blew 25 grand hiring PR for my other company. And here's what I got for my $25,000. I did get one good introduction to a local reporter. And then I got to speak at a lawn and garden show. And that was it.
Money well spent.
Yeah. So learn from my pain, but you're absolutely right, Matt. I mean, that's so many of the clients that we work, we serve, we help truly become media celebrities have been down that road before. And the problem is, and I've spoken on this at Social Media Marketing World a couple of times, is that public relations has not really evolved the way that it should. Some of the most amazing, talented people are in PR, but the industry as a whole is trying to hold on to an irrelevant model. This whole, listen, if you pay me $8,000, I'm going to introduce you to Susie over at WXYZ. And, you know, they're acting as if Susie's not on Twitter and anybody could reach out to the morning, their local morning reporter or producers. They're all available. They're all very accessible. But, and I'll tell you that in today's media environment, as a columnist myself, I get hit up by PR people all the time. I'm sure you do as well. And most of the time, it's atrocious. It's horrible. And I cannot believe that clients are paying for this. So really, there's just a few simple rules that if you follow this, you can get all the PR that you want. And really, honestly, take it from me, because especially at the beginning, I was horrible at this. Mm-hmm. I'm still not necessarily great, but I have a team of people who have become really, really good at this. So that really helps me out.
Josh, the company you're referencing is your company called Up the Influence.
Upmyinfluence.com. Yes, that's right.
Would you repeat that one more time?
Upmyinfluence.com.
I'm sorry.
And the goal is, what we do is we turn thoughtful entrepreneurs into media celebrities. Mm-hmm. We do that so we can increase their authority, their influence, and ultimately their revenue.
So let's dig into this just a little bit, because I'll go back. We've been in business 23 years. I'll go back 6 or 7 years when we had a marketing manager in here. The fellow's name was Zip. Very qualified guy. I was very unqualified in the marketing arena. And Zip used to say to me all the time, somebody's got to get in front of this business. Somebody's got to be the face of this business. And
that's
you
right.
are the guy that's going to be the face of business. I said, if you say that to me one more time, I'm going to fire you. And he kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And one day I did fire him. And I said, I'm not going to get in front of this business. I don't think it needs it. I don't understand the ROI. I don't get it. Just keep doing flyers and direct mail campaigns for us, Zip. And what a mistake I made, because Zip was so early, right?
Yeah.
8, 9, 10 years ago, we could have been on YouTube at the same time frame that all the guys that have so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of subscribers, a Patrick Bet-David, a Cardone, a Vaynerchuk, a Frizella, all those guys have enjoyed and have reaped the benefits of the fact that they were so early in those environments. And Zip was right and I was wrong. And only 3 or 4 years ago did I get in front of the business, and the business has taken off. And I can't say it's because I got in front of the business, but here's what I can say. There isn't a customer, that comes into this office to sign a set of contracts to finance a big rig or a tow truck who hasn't watched some of our videos or read some of our, our blogs or our publicity or done a Google search on us. And so the importance of getting in front of whatever it is, whether it's a big company or small company, I can't stress it enough. Don't wait. Do it. But there is a formula to it, Josh. It's not just about going live and having four viewers and thinking that you're a media celebrity. So walk me through your process. How does somebody do this thing right?
Sure. So, you know, and I love so much of what you said. And before we get into kind of the very tactical, you know, again, just reality, we are in an age where all of your perceived competitors are already generating content. It is the norm. So we live in an age of podcasts and YouTube and this abundance of content. And so people are only going to do business with you after they feel like they know, like, and trust you. So in the past, I feel like you could have this one-page sales letter and people wouldn't even need to know the people behind it. They're just like, okay, offer sounds great. Here's my credit card information. Those days are gone. Now it's really important that you cultivate that relationship first. And then people will say, I love Matt. I've loved all this content, these interviews that he does. Next step in that relationship, obviously, is something like purchasing your book. And Matt, you've got two great books, which I'm actually really excited to read. You Need More Money and The Grit. Yeah. Thank you for, by the way, for putting that in the video. I looked at that. I'm like, that sounds like something I'm interested in. But yeah, absolutely. So, you know, very tactically, we will attract the caliber of client equivalent to our own level of branding. So it's really critical, and this is kind of the first step, is that before you start reaching out to media, before you start cultivating relationships with influencers, you have to understand that they're not going to take you seriously if your social media profile images look like amateur hour. And look, amateur hour is fine. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's, you know, it's like the average people are just, you know, working a job and they don't need to necessarily promote anything that they're doing personally. That's great. You know, put a picture of you and your kids and holding the dog or, you know, at the beach, you know, and it's backlit and, you know, it's a bad quality photo. That's totally fine. But if you want to market yourself, then you really need to make sure, step one, that you've invested in good photography. And honestly, people are going to make judgments like you would not believe based on that one photo alone. So it's really important. And this is a photo you're going to use everywhere. You're going to use on your LinkedIn, your Twitter, you know, your Facebook, all throughout your website. So absolutely make that investment. $100, $200, boom, done. Okay. Next is that you need to optimize your social media profiles. And this is really critical because, again, if a journalist or an influencer is going to do even 10 seconds of quote unquote due diligence, and they will, they are going to look at your Twitter and they are going to look at your LinkedIn. Okay. And I'm speaking specifically for media. Twitter may not be your favorite social media platform to use, but it is a platform and it's a tool that can get you connected to pretty much anyone you want who is noteworthy. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense to optimize. Well, what does that mean? Well, you would be using your cover image. I cannot tell you, Matt, how many people I look at their LinkedIn profile and they still have the default background with the blue background with the lines and the circles. And it's like, listen, if you do a Google search on my name, Josh Elledge, and you search that in Google, I can tell you for sure that my LinkedIn profile is going to appear on my first page of Google search results. That's honestly probably 90%+ of people listening to this conversation, watching this conversation, same situation. How much control does LinkedIn give you over your profile? Like nearly 100%. Yeah. So you may as well invest the time. I don't believe in 2018 and beyond, you can overinvest in your LinkedIn profile. It's that important. You should have audio, or you should have video, you should have photos, you should have content, you should have like a great written bio, you know, fill out all of your experiences, show what you're interested in, and start engaging with people on LinkedIn. Especially if you're in the B2B space, it is a no-brainer. If you're not maximizing this, you are leaving so much money on the table.
So, Josh, I want to come back to it though, because my real life story does exist on the very first point you just made, which is, I'll go through the process real quick. I said to our marketing team a few years ago, we're going to have 1,000 videos on YouTube by the end of this year.
Wow.
And we made, not the end of 18, this was like the end of 15 or 16. And we made the stupidest videos, just ridiculous videos, because I was so obsessed with 1,000 videos on our company YouTube page. And my marketing manager at the time kept saying, these are stupid, they don't make any sense, they're ridiculous. And I was so gung-ho for this number of 1,000. I said, we're going to have 1,000. And I remember in November, just after Thanksgiving of that year, we all sat down at the conference table and we started uploading all these videos. Like four of us at a conference table uploading at the exact same time. And my marketing manager sitting across from me said, this is a bad idea. We're uploading way too much content at one time. YouTube is gonna kick us off. Mm. And I said, maybe you didn't hear me. We're going to have 1,000 videos on our YouTube page, right? And sure enough, we were an hour into it and we got the first warning. And because we kept pumping out the uploads, we got the second warning right back to back. And then we got the kiss of death from YouTube and they shut our account down.
Oh,
and
no.
Literally while we were sitting at that table, all that happened. And she looked at me like, dumbass.
Yeah.
I told you. And, and so then we had to go through the process of getting reinstated by YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we even spoke to like the world's greatest YouTube expert who said, you're screwed.
Yes.
You're starting from zero. And I said, again, no, when there's a will, there's a way. There's the power of the pen. And we started banging YouTube for a person to listen to us and talk to us. And wouldn't you know it, about 2 weeks later, we got reinstated by YouTube. And we blew out hundreds of those stupid videos. And we slowly followed the process of uploading again. Today, we have 900 on there. The reason I bring this up, though, is because less is more.
Yeah.
And you're talking about you, Shane, which spent before the podcast started, about the amazing imagery that you're putting out on your version of the video. You're talking about shooting with a DSLR. All of that quality matters. And I know some people are going to fight us on and say, no, just hit record on your iPhone. Maybe. But if you really want a professional image, just like you said, spend a couple $100 and get a professional photographer to take some great headshots or branding shots in super high quality, and then just repurpose those to get this whole process regenerated. Would you agree with exactly what I'm saying there?
Yeah, and the reason why is, so there's media that you can do for visibility, and then there's media that you do for authority. And both are important, but I would say that the bigger play is that, you know, my mind always goes to, you know, how can I help a client kind of move up the media ladder? Because ultimately, I want them celebrated on the biggest stages. You know, I want them, you know, being invited to a Grant Cardone event or whatever it might be. I mean, that's the ultimate vision. And I ask them that. I say, where ultimately would you like to be in 5 to 10 years? And then given that, it's very easy to just walk backwards. So for me, you know, my big thing is that I would like to speak on Tony Robbins' stage. And I can tell you that 4 years later, I'm getting closer and closer to that. Now, I've worked with the Tony Robbins organization speaking to their audience and doing digital events. And so I'm kind of at that point now where the next inevitable step is to speak at their Business Mastery event, which, again, that's kind of my big dream to be able to
Love
do that.
It.
And I think that that's, knock on wood, but you know, I feel like I've been doing everything right so that I can make that happen in the next 2 to 3 years. So yeah, is it going to take a while? Absolutely. Can you work with, you know, Oprah, the Today Show, or the big? Absolutely, because they work with people all the time. Mm-hmm. And how did those people get to that point? And it's because they just step by step kind of built up this presence. And to your point, you know, again, you will be judged. We talk about, you know, the quality of your photos and the quality of your social media profiles, the quality of your content. And again, at the beginning, it's not going to be perfect. And that is okay. One exercise that you can do is you can go back, any YouTuber that you love and you think, oh my gosh, they've got a million subscribers, go back and watch their first few videos if they haven't deleted them by now. They're terrible. They're horrible. Like, you will laugh at them and you're like, what is this? Podcasters too,
sure.
You know, go back and listen to, unless there's like some celebrity that came in with a big production group or whatever, you can go back and listen to my first podcast like 5.5-6 years ago. Oh, they're bad. They're really bad. My first TV, that if you go to my first videos on my YouTube channel for Savings Angel, oh, it's, I'm really like uncomfortably painfully bad on TV. That's part of the process. You keep on doing it. Like, we have one client that now earns $50,000, $60,000 a month on YouTube. And he just started cranking out 3 videos a week.
Yep.
And kept on doing it. And now 3-4 years later, you know, he's, you know, he produces good stuff. And, you know, he's well compensated for it. This is how it works.
But Josh, there's a lot of people that struggle with their messaging, right? So why does the television show want you on it is the ultimate question. And crafting the messaging that makes you interesting to even get the nod to be on is a real struggle for everybody, including us in our office. Can you give us some advice on how do we go about getting crystal clear on what it is that we stand for?
Yeah, you know, that's really great. And I'm a big fan of, you know, the why behind what you do, Simon Sinek and all that stuff. It's absolutely critical. And when you are crystal clear on your purpose, your values, your why you're doing, you're going to find that every decision in your business just becomes so much easier to make. So let's assume that they have that, right? Because that's foundational. Then you have the branding, you've got the content to support that. I think that's all really, really important. Okay. You should have a unique point of view. Okay. However, I would say that, you know, this fear of not getting your messaging right, I think that might be maybe
overplayed,
analyzed a little bit.
Very interesting. Huh.
More important than having, oh my gosh, the right message, because that scares me. Like when I heard you talking about not having it feels like something that I don't know if I have it or if I don't have it. Okay. Here's really what you need to do. And this is what journalists, this is what influencers are looking for. Look, you should be fairly unique in the world. So if it is, you know, Veterans Day and you're pitching your local media and your segment is, you know, and you're a historian and your big point that you want to make is, yeah, Hitler was kind of a jerk. You know, it's like, okay, wow, way to go out on a limb there, buddy.
Way to get transparent. Really, yeah, go deep.
Look, I'm going to be transparent. I'm not a big fan of Hitler. No. So what you want to do is, you know, you have to have a point of view that causes people to go, hey, that's really interesting. I'd actually really never considered that. If you can evoke that, then your messaging is probably on point. Okay. We can always evolve it. Okay. What I'm talking about today is way different than what I was talking about even 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly evolving and learning, and how can I bring more value to my audience? And so I evolve like that. Now, in terms of pitching, and this is really critical. Okay. I do a lot of speaking on this topic. And when I do the assignment, I say, all right, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to have the entire room. I'm going to all have you go do PR work, go. And then I set the timer and then I stop them after like 15, 20 seconds. I'm like, I'm not going to make you do that. All right. But let me ask you, what did you think that you should start doing? And invariably, like 90% of the room is like, I'm just going to start emailing journalists and pitching them on our company. And I'm like, that is the worst thing that you could do. And it's what most of us do when we think we want to go out and we want to go do PR stuff and you know, produce more visibility and authority for ourselves. So what you need to do, and the element of a great pitch is you want to think about the outcome. And the outcome from a journalist is you should get them to respond, or the influencer. And again, don't get hung up thinking, well, Josh is only talking about traditional media. No, I'm talking about everything. Like, we make connections with big time YouTubers, big time social media celebrities. The rules are the same. But your approach or your pitch to them, your offer to be helpful to the journalist, producer, influencer, should evoke a response that says, oh, that's a great idea. We've been meaning to do a story about that. Like, that's the response you want. You don't want them to respond with, oh, well, I mean, I guess we could. We weren't really thinking about doing a story on that. You don't want to do that. Okay. Maybe on pitch number like 4, 5, or 6, you might be able to get away with that. But your first few pitches should all be around stuff you know they're already producing content around. And so if you're an expert on financing, all you need to do is just pay attention to what's going on in the news. And so, you know, the SBA may be in the news, and, you know, there might be some debate over a bill in Washington. And so this is, you know, if it passes, it could be potentially great news for small business owners. And so for that, you would say, hey, look, this is already starting to trend as a story in the news. I know you guys are going to be talking about it today or tomorrow. I would love to guest. I would love to help out. Let me give you some bullet points. Let me write the story for you in terms of like some paragraphs or some bullet points, and just offer to be helpful. Most journalists or content producers, bloggers, you know, they're all very, very busy. And what they, you know, what's, and they're only going to do, when they're working with a new person, they're only going to work with people they know they can trust. And that gets into the whole authority piece, which we could talk about some more. But they're also, with someone that they've never worked before, they're going to do content that is already, like, it's already in their wheelhouse. It's safe. You're not asking them to try something new, unique, like something they've never done before. Don't do that for your first time out, okay? It's just too risky for them. So they have to go with something they know is going to perform.
So, Josh, our experience is that no one cares about trucking, right? Trucking is not sexy in the news. It's very difficult to even get traction, even in the trade magazines of our industry, right? However, we did latch onto something about 6 months ago, maybe 9 months ago, that I said, this is the hook that we should be pitching. And it is autonomous trucks, self-driving trucks.
Yes.
And it is electric trucks. And even though we've never financed an electric truck, because they literally haven't gone on the road, and an autonomous truck has only been on these very secure courses and very regulated, right? Our stance is they're coming, and everybody in trucking better get used to it. And therefore, if they're coming in trucking, everyone in the world better get used to it. And that has landed us ABC Radio, Bloomberg, MarketWatch, Forbes.
Absolutely. Not a surprise. Matt, that is absolutely genius. And one other thing I need to make sure that we talk about is, and this is where marketers really screw this up. And when I say marketers, I really mean all business owners who, you know, have gotten good at marketing. If you're good at marketing, PR might be a challenge for you, because you're, in your mind, you're thinking promote the brand, promote the brand, promote the brand. And you can't do that in the pitch. Yeah. We could talk about the art of promoting natural organic placement. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just have to say, it's extremely important that if a journalist, producer, influencer smells sales on your breath, forget it. You're not going to get point past one. You should actually specifically, in many cases, let them know, hey, I don't need you to promote anything. I'm not promoting anything. I just think this is a really big story, and I'm kind of a geek on this subject, and it would be an honor to serve your audience.
Yes, so it's beautiful.
If you're listening to this conversation, watching this video, go back, rewind 15 seconds, and write down what I just said.
It's so true.
It's going to make a huge difference.
So you're talking about authority, and there are different ways to get authority. I mean, I suppose the simplistic way of getting authority is adjusting your imagery and your opinion, as you referred to it. You referred to it as a unique point of view. I love that. But there are some automatic credibility things, one of which happens to be a book. And it has helped me talk about autonomous trucks because I have You Need More Money, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm never pitching, I need to be on the show for You Need More Money. But guess what? They always reference he's the author of the new book, You Need More Money. So
absolutely.
You know, there
See,
is.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And to the person who's listening, that's like, well, why on earth would I spend my time doing that if they're not even going to promote my thing or whatever? Listen, a professional is going to promote you, but you cannot ask for it.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to give them the space to reciprocate. It's almost like that analogy. It's like, you know, if you ask someone, are you a hero? No, I'm not a hero. Then you're a hero. You know, it's like, you're not allowed to say you're a hero and you're not allowed to promote your thing. You have to let them promote you. You cannot over promote. Now there is one exception. And that is that you tell stories about
how you got
tell stories about customer success, but you don't give like calls to action. Like you can't be too heavy handed. Like, you know, on page number 67 of my new book, You Need More Money. You'll find the three, like you can't do that. Like audiences are going to be like, yeah. You know, so just, you just focus on bringing the maximum value possible to that audience. They're going to love you and they'll go buy your book. They really, really will. As long as, you know, you tell stories about it. And stories are not selling. People love stories.
Yeah. Josh, what about the requirement to pick a lane and to not be a generalist? I know it goes back to this unique point of view, but, you know, we really do have to say, this is what I'm good at talking about, right?
Yes.
At least in the first one or two. Then maybe they have you on because you were pretty or you have a nice bubbly personality or something like that and you enhance the happiness of the show. But to get on, you got to pick a lane. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, really, really critical. So so what you want to do is you want to typecast yourself and you want to be known as Josh is the guy who knows everything about saving money at the grocery store in the case of my Savings Angel brand, you know, in the case of Up My Influence, you know, how business owners can basically do their own visibility and authority and fire their PR firm and get more media than they've ever. That's kind of long, but you know what I mean, right? It's like people need to be able to, media need to be able to figure you out quickly. Like, and I totally agreed. If you're a generalist, forget it. Because if you're a generalist, you're just commoditizing your products and services. It's just, it's a mess.
Yeah.
You have to be known for one very specific. The riches are in the niches, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if you're very specific, like I have one client, you know, he does coaching and for a while he was just working with high net worth individuals, or at least, you know, professionals, doctors, that sort of thing, you know, lawyers, business executives. And he had, you know, he had a handful of dentists and he thought, you know, what would happen if I only worked with dentists and I branded myself as like the go-to person for all dentists? He did it, tripled, quadrupled his money.
Yeah, that's not Sean Cleveland. Is that Sean Cleveland in Tennessee?
No.
Oh, because he has picked that niche too.
It's a great niche. Dentists have a lot. It's really bizarre. So my background is actually in family therapy. Dentists are known as the career highest rate of infidelity.
Oh,
I mean, there's
gosh.
a lot of other bad stuff. I don't know what it is. It's just a scraping plaque all day and dealing with, you know, stinky root canal. Who knows? It's it's stressful apparently because they got problems.
It's the dirty little secret of dentistry.
I must cheat on my wife. I can't take this anymore.
But listen. That's so funny that we're talking about this because if someone who wanted to go down that niche began to have the guts to put themselves out there that said, I want to talk about the dirty little secret of dentistry, which is infidelity, guess what? There's an audience for that conversation.
You better believe it. You know, if I was in, we work with a lot of people in real estate. And so, you know, I love, you know, those secret things that only a real estate professional would know. Yeah. Like I've done, you know, over 100 walkthroughs over the past few months. And let me tell you the 10 weirdest things I've seen. You won't believe it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Crazy what people leave out. And, you know, just stuff like that. Like people love those inside peeks into this world. Like truckers, like I am actually fascinated with the trucker lifestyle. And I really wish that there was content around like things truckers know that, you know, that regular, you know, POV drivers, like they would never have a clue.
Yeah.
Like I learned a lot just by driving a big RV class A for a week. I mean, I gained a lot of insight into what it's like to drive a big vehicle and try to, you know, navigate around and how cars and motorcycles. I'm like, are you serious? You really like cutting me off that close? It's dangerous stuff.
Yeah,
and
no question.
But there's a lot, like I have questions. I just have questions about, you know, especially OTA drivers, that whole lifestyle's crazy.
You know, you also have the underlying economic benefit of trucking too. 80% of freight is delivered on a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. If you, I had one joke I heard is funny. If you could touch it, see it, taste it, or whatever, a trucker delivered it for you and they put a booger on it for you.
All right. My mind is all over the place because I can go in a million different directions, but I want to stay focused on two specific things because I really want to get this point across. The first is the requirement of consistency. Help us understand, how do we not just do it for a week or two and it doesn't work and we say, oh, we tried and it didn't work?
Oh, I guarantee that if you start on this work, this is where it really makes sense to either bring someone in-house, or I think especially in the early days, you know, find an agency. But here's the thing, the PR agency world is just so screwed up right now. It's, you know, it's kind of why we started what we started. We're kind of at that done with you level. So our rates are like 1/4 what a normal PR firm would charge. And we're also no contracts month to month. We a la carte all of our services. We just tried to make it very extremely consumer friendly, but that's kind of what you want to find. And so if you can't hire us, then maybe, you know, try to find a professional on Upwork and say, look, you have a very specific job and your job is to do X. Because what I find is that, and it really depends on the business owner. If you are the type of business owner that you're already like overwhelmed and you're busy and that sort of thing, look, we all need to shift from being a business operator to being a business owner.
Hopefully. Okay. I mean,
many of us are trapped in that Michael Gerber e-myth stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have to stop doing that. And I'll tell you, like, of all the activity that I do, if I'm working on something and a journalist emails me, I will drop just about anything I'm doing and I will immediately jump on that because I've trained myself to do that. And I want to make sure that my influencer friends, my producer journalists, like they all know they can count on me. And if they can count on me, they're going to keep coming back to me over and over and over again. So I would recommend that any business owner listening to our conversation prioritizes their publicity work. They get out on those stages because that's where they need to be. Get out from behind your computer screen. Get outside the warehouse. You do not belong in there. You give those jobs to other people. You need to be the one, just like we talked about, Matt, at the very beginning of our conversation, you need to be the face of the company because people do business with people. Yeah. They don't like doing business with faceless corporations, you know, some guy sitting in a cubicle on the other side of the planet. Like, we don't, you know, today's buying environment is, you know, we want to know the people behind the product.
It's a requirement. It's an absolute requirement. And for those big companies that we compete against in our space, publicly traded banks, et cetera, who aren't doing any of that, right?
Yeah.
Because everyone's confused of who is the face of the company, unless you want to look at, you know, like a Jamie Dimon, right, who gets out in front of his company. But a lot of the other ones don't. Someone is nipping at your heels, like us maybe, who are doing this, and we're grabbing market share from people who are looking at the business relationship in the current light, not in the way it was done 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so the big guys really have to be concerned about this, because the little guys are grabbing up small amounts of share that eventually add to big amounts of share.
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful, because if you wake up in the morning, and I'm talking to business owners now, you wake up in the morning and your first thought is, how can I make more money? How can I sell to more people? It's going to be tough to do what you do. Like, it's going to be stressful. If, however, you wake up in the morning and you're like, what value can I bring to people? Yeah. How can I serve other people? Not immediately, but that's, if you have that approach for the long term, you're going to find PR is going to be super easy for you as a company. And you're going to find, honestly, it's the path to take. When you serve enough people, help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Yeah. I have a stance on that too, though, that really, for most business owners, what they need to do is stop what Zig Ziglar said. If you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. I really don't buy into that in the early phases of your business. You got to go out and get your piece of the American pie first. You got to take care of your family and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So there's a point in the relationship. I'm speaking about generally to build a mass and audience. Okay. Then, like, if you get on the call with me, and it's a, you know, discovery call, you know, sales call or something like that, look, we're going to figure out really, really quickly about, does it make sense for us to work together? Here's how our products and services work. Here's how they can make your life better. Here's what the investment is. Do you see a match? And if there is, great. We work together. If there's not, then it's like, great. I do tons of pro bono stuff. Have at it, you know, but when it comes to my personal time, I love the one to many, do all that stuff for free. Okay. But your one to one, like where you're dealing with individual clients, that sort of thing, or partnership opportunities, it needs to be about getting the business done.
Yeah.
And I've made that mistake before,
for sure.
Where I've been in a webinar environment. And listen, webinars are for sales. Give a lot of value, but you need to close the business. That's what your job is. And people expect that.
They do.
People want that. They want to know, can you make my life better? Naturally, you don't work for free.
Yep.
Okay. I appreciate all the stuff you're getting, just making me like you. Okay. But people are going to follow your lead. So, when I say, help enough people, that's my approach to sales, though, is I say, look, here's how our products and services can make your life better. Here's how they're making our other clients' lives better. So I'm going to help you get what you want. But I don't, I've got a team. Like, we've got over 20 people on our team. So obviously,
somebody's got to pay for them, of course. Right. So, Josh, let me just talk about this, which I think is shrapnel that occurs when the leader or the owner or the founder, whoever this title is, gets out in front of their business. And it happened in here. Some of the staff begins to say, oh, look at him or her. Right? Look at them puff their chest, right? Now they want to be famous. Look at them. How is what he or she is doing that is burning up company profits and cash flow helping me make more money? So let's address this, because I don't think it's a small topic. It is a little bit of a dirty little secret of this, right? I'd love to get your comments. I think we're past it now. But there was no question in that first year of me getting in front of this business.
Amazing.
A lot of people were like, what's he doing? Why is he doing that?
Listen, you want to grow the company, right? Well, someone needs to be out casting nets, because, this just throwing in one line at a time stuff, whatever, that's great. It keeps, creates this lifestyle business for us. But if we really want to grow, you are going to, what you'll find in the cycle of business is you're going to hit a ceiling. And you're going to find, why are we stagnating as a business? This thing that we've been doing, like, we're only growing. We're not really growing anymore. So in order to get to that next level, you need to invite a whole new audience in. And you will only do that when somebody takes the reins and says, I will represent our work, our mission, our vision, our tribe. Right. And this is not about, promoting Josh Elledge or promoting Matt Monero. This is about, getting our collective vision into the world. Someone's got to do it. Okay. I'm happy to do it. Okay. Because, you know, you are more valuable, but we got to pick somebody. Generally the CEO or the founder is going to be that person, but not necessarily. It's weird when, well, why is the CEO hiding? That's supposed to be the leader. Like every influencer, every journalist would love to talk to the CEO. That would be their first preference, unless the company is just way too big. Then if they can get, you know, Johnny Ive, then whatever, we'll take Johnny Ive. That's amazing. But, you know, absolutely, you know, at the SMB level, that CEO, that's just part of your job. And it, you need to get your butt out of operations. Hire yourself a COO. Give opportunity to other people. Look, I'm going to go out and do this thing so that we can make... So I have a vision for myself, my family. I've got a vision for my audience, my tribe, you know, what I want to... The impact I want to make in the PR industry, in the small business world, medium-sized business owner world. And I also have a vision for my employees. You know, I want a team of, you know, probably 60, 80 people, and I want to have them all enjoying this amazing lifestyle where they can all work from home, where they can all have this, this freedom. I hire a lot of moms, same thing with Savings Angel. You know, I've always worked with, stay-at-home moms, and we really love and support that culture. Yeah. And we create an environment where it's just a perfect fit for them.
Your stance is
I want them to be paid very well, and my job is to go make sure they can get paid very well.
I mean, your stance on this specific question is it's a requirement of business today, and so if you think that it's the owner's ego fueling it, it's not the owner that has to really adjust the mindset. It's actually you who might have to adjust the mindset. It is a requirement of ownership to get out of the working in the business and only get working on the business, to use Gerber's
absolutely.
Mindset.
So you can look at other companies, other larger companies, and they send people out to talk to audiences.
Just look at Warren Buffett. Yeah. Warren Buffett's like why would Warren Buffett be on television all the time? Because he understands that they want to talk to the head honcho.
Absolutely. So, you know, and boy, you could tell, man, you got me a little hot under the, I got on my soapbox on that one. Cause that's insanity talking right there.
But do you think that I'm being naive when I ask the question? Cause you were so adamant about your response, but I was trying to be a little vulnerable with you and tell you that that's truly a process that we went through. And my thought process, if I'm going through it, other people might be going through it in their organization as well when they try to get out.
No, look, if you're the CEO and you're getting that kind of flack, you need to shut that down. Because I get what it's like for someone who is very career minded and they want to grow and they want to grow their own personal brand. Look, I think it's a really great idea that you celebrate your team and you celebrate your employees and you make your employees look amazing and that you put them on stages as well. But when it comes to who is the spokesperson for the company, that's the CEO. Or, you know, when you get to the larger enterprise level, then you can hire professional spokespeople or whatever. But if you're at the SMB level, sorry, CEOs, that's you. Quit trying to outsource that because, you know, it's just not, unless you're a horrible communicator and you would do damage to the company, it ideally needs to be you.
Yeah, I just couldn't agree more with you. And I go back to my old marketing guy, Zip. And if he ever listens to this podcast, Zip, you were right and I was wrong. You were early and I was late and you were right, my friend. And by the way, just for real takeaway, I know that getting in front of the business can't take credit for this much revenue growth, but you know, our company has grown at 30% a year since I got in front of the business. And that is not totally directly related to that, but I'm not silly enough to think that it's not some portion of the growth.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. So ideally in today's social media world, you in digital world, you want to get people to feel like you are everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Matt Monero is just everywhere. And so here's what happens. Cause I want to also talk about, you know, because how important it is that you share your media wins with your audiences, not just your employees. So you might think, well, wait a minute, is my audience just going to think that I'm bragging? Okay. If you share it in the right way, They are never going to think that you're bragging. If you say, here we are again, getting validated for our movement, our tribe, what we're promoting here. Okay. And you're speaking collectively. Okay. You just happen to be the one. They can't interview your whole, you know, all 20 people at once. One person needs to go out and do that thing. And so this is really interesting. And so authority earned is like, if I give you a sack of cash, like just out of the Monopoly game, it's got dollar signs on the bag. It's, you know, Monopoly guy is giving it to you. And you look inside and you go, oh my gosh, there really is $10,000 in here. And you say, thank you. And then you go to the backyard, you dig a big hole and you bury it. And then 2 years later, I come back to you and say, hey, what did you do with that $10,000 that I gave you? And you're like, oh, I buried it. And you go back and it's all decomposed or whatever by then. It's like, that is the equivalent of doing media and then not leveraging it. Yeah. Most people really overestimate the power of visibility and they underestimate the power of authority. Yeah. So what that means is I'm going to go do media so this TV audience can come in and buy my stuff. No, they're not going to come in and buy your stuff. They might buy your book, but they are not going to pick up the phone and start buying your six-figure products or whatever. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
So Josh, I want to just add to that just for a second, because I want to give the audience a real takeaway on this, because we all see this. The post goes up by someone that says, I really enjoyed my time on the Dallas morning TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds a little bit self-inflating to me. What I would prefer to see is on Dallas morning TV this morning, we talked about how self-driving trucks will change the transportation landscape forever.
Yes.
If you're interested, take a watch.
Yes.
You killed two birds with one stone there, right?
Give me an idea of what is the value I'm going to get from consuming this content. And the byproduct of that is going to be the increase in authority. So when your audiences respect you and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, like for example, when I spoke with the Tony Robbins organization, you better believe I let my audience know about it. And I, you know, shared with them the video and everything. And as a result, my audience, we had a lot of sales as a result of that. New people coming in from the Tony Robbins event, not a whole lot, but they came into our tribe. And so this gets into, you know, just sales funnel philosophy, where you have to honor the relationship where it is. People don't go from the top to the bottom in one day. It takes them a while. So they start off by, you know, it's wonderful if you have a book, if you have a webinar, if you have, you know, just something that they can use to get to know you. And then, you know, if you, it's like dating, right? You know, it's generally you don't go on a first date and say, hey, what do you say we get hitched? You know, Elvis's Chapel of Love is just down the road. Let's do it. What do you say?
Yeah.
That generally does not happen unless you're both drunk, you know, drunk out of your mind. And then you figure, wait a minute, I'm already married. What am I doing? I mean, that's really bad.
I mean, I got to go back to my dental practice.
Yeah. So in other words, you know, again, first date, it's appropriate to get to know one another. Second day, you know, talk about other stuff. You nurture the relationship. This is all part of the sales cycle, and you should have a customer journey roadmap all mapped out. So, you know, exactly, you know, person gets introduced. What's the first thing they do? In our case, generally they sit in on a webinar. I provide them a lot of value. And then I say, hey, if this makes sense, here's kind of the first level at which we could potentially work together. And I make the offer a no-brainer. Like, so super easy. They're like, you know, I've gotten this much value. My know, like, and trust is up to here. Sure. Like, you're giving me this much value for this much investment. Nope. And we make it a no brainer at every level so that, you know, eventually they're participating at higher levels, higher and higher levels of engagement with us.
Yeah. No, like, trust. I mean, it's no like trust. So Josh, you have two businesses, savingangels.com, Saving Angel or Saving Angels?
And I'll tell you, here's a little media hack. So one of the best things to do is like when you go on air, you say, oh, how are you going to say, pronounce my name? Like, you have to ask them that. Yeah. Don't say, and by the way, it's Josh Elledge. So say it right. Like, you wouldn't do that. But if you ask them, and so similarly, I say, oh, were you going to mention my company? And they're like, oh yeah, what is it? And then they you see them reading it. And then you're like, and by the way, it's in this, you know, it's, you just say, you know, everyone messes this up. It's savings angel, lots of savings, one angel. So you make it easy for them to remember.
That's great.
Elledge is L and then edge.
Well, they're two very, very interesting businesses, but upmyinfluence.com is really what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we could go on forever about the importance of this. And I could also get really transparent about how I regret not starting earlier. I wasted so much time, energy. And by the way, it's a heck of a lot harder for me to push into it now than what could have been. The question I always ask myself is, well, what's this next platform going to be that I can be early on, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know where that's going to come from. And maybe it does or maybe it doesn't. Right? Maybe the ship has sailed. And so we all got to play catch up on it. But Josh, thank you for being on the show today. Everybody can find Josh at Josh Elledge, Elledge. I'm assuming that's your handle on all social, Josh?
Yeah, especially Twitter. Connect with me on the Twitter for sure. I've got about 60,000 fans. And also, if you mention that you heard our conversation, Matt and I, let me know in the tweet. And I will retweet that to my audience for sure, for sure. This is a great conversation. I cannot wait for everybody to hear this.
Awesome, buddy. Thanks for being on the show, my friend. I'll see you down the road.
That's our episode this week with your host, Matt Monero. Check us out every Friday at 12 p.m. Central as we discuss money, your life, and how you need more money.